You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One down, 102 to go. On that wildly optimistic note, welcome in to the first post-game episode of Locked On Rockets of the 2018-2019 NBA season. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. This is, of course, the place where you can find daily podcast analysis on all things Houston Rockets basketball. And for the first time in over 4 months, we are talking about actual basketball games again, because the Rockets got the big win in their preseason opener over the Memphis Grizzlies on Tuesday night in Birmingham, Alabama. I mentioned one down, 102 to go, because theoretically, if you had a perfect season, you would go 5-0 in the preseason, 82-0 in the regular season, and 16-0 in the postseason. Of course, that is not going to come close to happening, but for now, let's enjoy it while we can, because it was a very strong performance by the Rockets in their preseason opener. Chris Paul and James Harden looked in regular season form. Chris Paul, in his 26 minutes, 22 points, a game-high plus 21 in the plus-minus, also had 9 assists in those 26 minutes, 6 of 12 from the field. James Harden played 30 minutes, 20 points, 5 of 12 from the field, 6 assists, did have 8 turnovers. But largely, the preseason isn't about the stars. You know what Chris Paul and James Harden are, and if you had any doubts about those two, I think those could be erased tonight. They're ready to go, and you shouldn't have had any doubts for obvious reasons. They are locked in. They're ready to redeem themselves for coming so close a season ago before falling short against the Golden State Warriors. The preseason isn't about those guys. It's also not about great defense, as evidenced by both teams being in triple figures, although a lot of that also had to do with an incredibly tight whistle. We're not going to talk about the awkward officiating in this game because, look, it's the preseason. I think some of this is just a certain level of emphasis the NBA is trying to put on certain fouls, such as freedom of movement and whatnot. That said, while it's not about the stars, and it's also not about the defense or the officiating, there are some things that you can take from these games, and that's what we're going to be looking at in our 3 points recap, because especially the rotations, but also, of course, the body language, how the players appear to be feeling in their roles, that's something you can take from, because the Rockets, while they didn't treat this quite like a regular season game, again, Chris Paul played 26 minutes, James Harden played 30. It's not like they were going through the motions. They were playing to win. There's only 5 preseason games, only 4 against NBA opponents. One is against Shanghai. So the Rockets are taking these games seriously. They want to make sure they're good to go from the outset. That's a big part of how they won 65 games a season ago. And so far, so good. Again, I wasn't worried about Chris Paul and James Harden. Their stat lines, nonetheless, were very good. Especially Chris Paul, who was just, quite frankly, brilliant in his 26 minutes. But the lead item for me, and I think anyone who watched this game in Birmingham would come away with the same conclusion, was Carmelo Anthony. 13 points in 23 minutes, 4 of 8 from the field, 3 of 6 from behind the three-point arc. Yes, it's great that he made shots, that he looked comfortable. That's always nice to see. It's always easier if shots go down. Similarly, with Chris Paul, he was 5 of 6 from 3. Harden was 4 of 10 from 3. So yes, you always feel better about players when the shots go in. It's funny how that works. That said, what was most impressive about Carmelo Anthony to me was how comfortable he looked, how much he embraced his seemingly third option role. Now, because P.J. Tucker sat out with a sore back, Carmelo actually did not come off the bench tonight, which seems his obvious role in the regular season. He actually did start. That said, he was clearly playing off the ball. He was not a focal point by any stretch of the imagination. Mentioned he had 13 points in 23 minutes. He only had one isolation possession. The Rockets were not running their offense through Carmelo Anthony very much at all. He was playing off the ball as a catch-and-shoot type player, and he embraced it. He looked comfortable. And the most impressive part to me, he started the first half. Of his 6 field goal attempts, 5 were behind the three-point arc. The only shot that was inside the arc, there was a clear mismatch against a smaller defender in the post, and he attacked. In the second half, they got it to him. He faked a 3. He went inside the arc, actually made a 20-footer, and then I'm sure you've seen this on Twitter if you're on there. This GIF has been retweeted a few times by now. He mouthed my bad while laughing to the Rockets bench, an acknowledgement, of course, of the importance of shot selection here in Houston and the fact that that's a very inefficient shot. It's not just the fact that he took it, he actually made the shot. And yet Carmelo is so happy, so buying into his role, that he's already, in game one of the preseason, seemingly put his ego aside. So for those worried about the seemingly apparent clash in styles between Carmelo, the long twos, and the Mike D'Antoni system, the Daryl Morey system, prioritizing threes and getting to the bucket and free throws, I don't think you have to worry too much. It looks to me like Carmelo Anthony's head is in the right place, and that's the right place to start. I'm not going to blow one preseason game out of proportion by any means. That's all it is. The defenses are going to get tougher in the regular season, and as far as what his fit is, what his defensive liabilities are, we're going to see that more against better teams. Memphis, not exactly a great team from a year ago, although they did have Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, which they did not have a year ago. So if those two guys stay healthy, which they were on Tuesday night, they profile much better than their 22-60 record a year ago might indicate. That said, it's while the Rockets weren't going full speed, especially defensively, let's not act like the Grizzlies were as well. The competition is going to get tougher. Melo is going to have to come off the bench. And one preseason game, at the end of the day, isn't going to tell that much in terms of the X's and O's of how it's going to work. But that's why, as I say going into the preseason, it's not so much about the X's and O's. It's about the things beyond that. You can tell from the rotations how the coaches feel about how certain players have played. But you can also, from the player's standpoint, tell who's buying in, who's comfortable. And to see Melo, after everything that happened a year ago in Oklahoma City, keep in mind this was the Who Me Tour in training camp in the preseason a year ago, to go from that to playing off the ball to essentially after taking one long two and making it, having the level of self-awareness, the humor, to immediately say, my bad. Folks, I don't know how you don't like that. He seems to be very comfortable. It's a big difference from a year ago. Maybe it has to do with the fact that the deal was consummated in early August rather than late September. You can go with a lot of theories, but the bottom line is Melo seems to be in the right place mentally to accept his role. Does it guarantee success? Of course not. It's one preseason game. The defenses are going to get tougher for him. Certainly he's going to have to adjust to a bench role, which he didn't have to do, which means when he's coming off the bench, he may not be playing with both Chris Paul and James Harden. You can throw a lot of caveats out there with regards to his performance through game one of the preseason. But with Carmelo Anthony, it's not just the fact that he's 34 years old and whatever the physical concerns are. A lot of what's been laid out there is on the mental side as well. And so far, so good. There's a lot that still has to be proven. One game out of hundreds does not mean that much at the end of the day, especially when it's a preseason game, but I do think it can shed insight into the mentality of both players and coaches. And from what I saw on Tuesday night, it's not just that Melo had 13 points on an efficient 4 of 8 from the field, 3 of 6 from behind the arc in his 23 minutes, it's that he was very happy and buying into his role. And if he's going to succeed in Houston, especially in that bench role in terms of being at best the third or fourth option on this team that now has Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon, more on him in a moment, it's going to take a certain degree of selflessness that we have not seen throughout the first 15 years of Carmelo Anthony's NBA career. Well, so far, so good. For one night, he showed it, and I was very happy for him. He was very likable on the court, appeared to be having fun once again. That's not something we saw this past season in Oklahoma City or his last year in New York. And who knows, even as his physical gifts decline a little bit as he ages, maybe that's going to be a little bit offset by Carmelo having fun again on the basketball floor. It's one night, yes, but so far, so good. If you're hoping for a bounce back year from Carmelo Anthony, in my opinion, what you saw Tuesday night was the best case reasonable scenario. Now, as we continue our 3 points recap, I wanted to lead with Carmelo Anthony because while he wasn't the most dominant player in the game, of course, that's Chris Paul and James Harden who combined for 42 points and 15 assists on nearly 50% shooting from the field. You know what you're getting from Chris Paul and James Harden. Assuming health, those are your constants. It's your variables that you wonder a little bit more about. Carmelo Anthony, his first game in the Rockets uniform, it's natural that he's going to get a lot of the attention. But another variable we talk about a lot is Eric Gordon, and he looked brilliant. 13 points off the bench, 3 of 5 from 3, most notably 10 points in the first 7 minutes. The Rockets got off to a slow start in this game, and then midway through, they seemed to hit the thermonuclear button. They were down as much as 9 in the first half, and the Rockets completely flipped it. They actually went on a 54-29 run in a 17-minute stretch midway through the second quarter to the end of the third quarter. But the game started to turn when they inserted Eric Gordon into the game. He started well, got them going, and he continued to hit from three. Will it continue? That remains to be seen because Eric was up and down this past year. A lot of that, of course, has to do with the high volume that the Rockets take in their system that artificially deflates everyone's percentages a little bit, but it's nice to see Eric Gordon start off well. It is intriguing to me that he started off in a bench role. There was a lot made in the first week of camp, whether he would start or whether James Ennis would get the start. Day one, it was James Ennis. Now, Ennis played just 19 minutes because, again, he was kind of a casualty of the NBA's crazy strict foul rules in this game, actually fouled out in those 19 minutes, but Ennis did look very good. I thought, especially in transition, he showed a dimension that even Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute did not have a year ago. Maybe you could also argue that they want James Ennis and Carmelo Anthony to be used to playing together. That's another report we had, so I don't know if it's necessarily Gordon coming off the bench a reflection of Ennis being ahead of Eric Gordon, or it could be the fact that they want Eric Gordon and Tucker paired together at the forward spots. I'm using forward spots in quotes because, of course, it's basically a three-guard lineup if the Rockets go with Paul, Harden, and Gordon. And then they want to pair Ennis with Anthony because Ennis, as the superior defender, especially in terms of athleticism on the wing, maybe that helps hide Carmelo's deficiencies a little bit more. So I don't know if really starting Ennis over Gordon is so much a tell in terms of Mike D'Antoni's decision whether to start Ennis or Gordon or whether it's more circumstantial because P.J. Tucker was out cautionary again with a little bit of back soreness. But either way, Gordon feels adaptable to the role. That's something that after watching him be a dynamic sixth man, winning sixth man of the year, his first year in Houston, we should be accustomed to by now with Eric. But it's nice to see that level of selflessness. It's nice to see him ready to go. One of the things we've heard about Eric this offseason is that he had lost 10 to 15 pounds. And that was one of the things that really stood out to me. Yes, he made 3 of 5 from behind the arc, which is nice to see. But he looked springy to me. You could see that he had shed 10 to 15 pounds. When he attacked off the dribble, he seemed to have an extra bounce. And that's big because as he's 29 years old, it's not like his athleticism is going to be there forever. He does have a lot of mileage. He does have an injury history. So it makes sense for him to lose a little bit of weight to keep the athleticism up as he enters the middle ages, so to speak, of a typical NBA career. And even though he shed the weight, we saw him a couple of times in switches against Marc Gasol, of all people, on the low block. Eric actually held his own a little bit. So I didn't think he looked too light, so to speak. He still seemed to have that strength. It's just that the reduced weight seemed to help him be a little bit springier on offense. And maybe that's the key to keeping him more active. By the way, I mentioned he had 13 points in his 27 minutes, 3 of 5 from 3, made all 4 of his free throws. But he was also plus 16 in those 27 minutes. So even though he came off the bench, again, Chris Paul, 26 minutes, Eric Gordon, 27 minutes, James Harden, 30 minutes. Yeah, the Rockets are using this for conditioning purposes quite seriously. So I thought Eric looked very good. If you want to be sinister, you can point out that the Timberwolves did have a scout, according to some reports, at this game tonight. So if you want to believe in the Jimmy Butler rumors, then Eric Gordon certainly did nothing to lower his value in the eyes of the Timberwolves. If anything, he looked more ready to go than a lot of other players on the basketball court. So it certainly didn't hurt in terms of the Rockets. Can they make a move for Jimmy Butler? And if anything, it might have given the Rockets something to think about because, again, whether Eric Gordon starts, whether it comes off the bench, his attitude, his selflessness is such a desirable quality. And so in this game, even though there was a lot of camp mentioned about his possibility of being a starter and playing alongside Chris Paul and James Harden, well, you bring him off the bench in this game, and it didn't seem like it seemed to matter. He slid back into that role easily as well. So that level of selflessness, that level of versatility, not just physically but mentally as well, because not a lot of players are open to being yanked in and out of certain roles that way, there's a value to that. So again, I don't think one preseason game is all of a sudden going to change Daryl Morey's calculus to where, okay, now I want to keep this guy over Jimmy Butler. No, but at the same time, it's a reminder of, hey, even if this deal doesn't get to the finish line, it's not the end of the world. There's a lot that Eric Gordon brings to the table. And yes, it helps that he made his threes. That always helps. But beyond that, I think him losing weight, you could see, even in one preseason game, it seemed to make him a little bit springier. On his drives, he had to be respected more. He collapsed the defense. And whether that's in a number three role behind Chris Paul and James Harden with the starters, or whether it's in that usual six-man role that we've become accustomed to, there's a lot of value to that. And again, Eric Gordon in his debut, 13 points, 3 of 5 from behind the arc. But again, plus 16 in his 27 minutes, which is a pretty strong figure. Amongst the Rockets regulars, the only guy better than that, again, was Chris Paul, who was just simply magnificent. 22 points, 9 assists, 5 steals in his 26 minutes. About the only thing Chris Paul did wrong was anger Hayward Workman, the lead official, but that's neither here nor there. It's the preseason. We'll let the officials slide. Other than that, Chris Paul was great. Eric Gordon was great. James Harden was a little inefficient with the ball, but again, it's the preseason, so especially with Chris and James, I'm going to let them go. I'm a little more focused on the not-quite-star-level players. Starts with Carmelo Anthony, but Eric Gordon, especially with the uncertainty about his role, not far behind. And for both of those guys, in my opinion, so far, so good. Now, as we finish up our 3 points recap of this initial Rockets win of the preseason, 131-115 over the Memphis Grizzlies, Rockets now 1-0 in the 5-game preseason, Grizzlies 0-1. We let off by talking about Carmelo Anthony and Eric Gordon because those are two guys you know are going to be in this rotation from day one. Beyond that, there are questions. Not going to spend a segment on the virtues of Chris Paul and James Harden again because they are what they are. They're top 10 NBA players, potentially MVP level in really both cases. That's how good Chris Paul was, even in a preseason game on Tuesday night. So as we analyze this game, we're going to go through the role players. Started with Carmelo and James Ennis, or Carmelo and Eric Gordon. I mentioned James Ennis and that he looked good when he played, especially in transition, but the tight whistle kind of worked against him, 6 fouls in 19 minutes. So while he looked good, at the same time, there wasn't really extended run. Clint Capella, 5.6 rebounds. He looked okay in his 21 minutes, didn't really stand out, but again, a preseason game, up and down, 131-115. That doesn't really play to a traditional center like Clint Capella, and quite frankly, it also didn't to Marc Gasol, who had 2 points and 5 rebounds on 1 of 7 shooting. It's just not really that type of game. This is not playoff basketball. So I'm going to give a pass to both centers, not just Clint Capella, but also Marc Gasol for the Grizzlies as well. It's not really their game. But in this up-and-down pace, there were a couple of Rockets role players we haven't mentioned yet that had key moments. Those are Michael Carter-Williams as far as a backup guard or wing player, and Marquese Chriss as a backup center. Now, I'm going to start with Michael Carter-Williams, who in 21 minutes had 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 of 6 from the field, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, which tells you he was aggressive, he was instinctive, had a couple of offensive rebounds in there as well, but he attacked the lane, got out in transition. That's what Michael Carter-Williams and James Ennis, we talk about them replacing Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute. Yes, there's a certain wily veteran to Ariza and Bamute that you'll miss, but there's also a certain youth and athleticism to Ennis and Carter-Williams that they're able to get out in transition and make some plays, especially filling the lanes in transition that Ariza and Bamute, for all of their strengths, simply were not able to do. Now, the big weakness for Michael Carter-Williams over his NBA career, he's a 25% three-point shooter, and he's gotten worse over time. That's the bad. Well, in this game, he went 5 of 6 from the field, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, and he did not take a single 3. Now, that's interesting in its own right. Now, yes, you can point to the preseason, and yes, defenses will get tougher. But for all we've talked about how Michael Carter-Williams needs to improve his shooting, and definitely he does, one of the things that maybe we haven't talked about enough, we've discussed before the idea that the culture, the talent, the infrastructure in Houston might help James Ennis because it allows him to play to his strengths, and we've primarily meant that as a defensive thing in terms of letting them focus on the things they do well in terms of bulldog, tenacious defense. It can offensively as well, because the way it worked with Michael Carter-Williams offensively is that especially when he was surrounded by Eric Gordon and Chris Paul making so many threes, Gordon and Paul were a combined 8 of 11 from behind the arc, the spacing was so good that, quite frankly, Michael Carter-Williams had driving lanes, even though they didn't have to respect him from behind the three-point arc. That's how good the spacing around him was. And keep in mind, even Marquese Chriss, as your backup center, can hit threes. So that's the optimistic take. You can say that you put Michael Carter-Williams in Houston, maybe he doesn't even have to be that dynamic of a three-point shooter. Well, not that he's going to be dynamic, but, you know, we mentioned before, you hope that he just becomes slightly below average rather than dreadful. And I think that's still something that over time probably has to happen. But the point is, while we've talked a lot about the infrastructure helping defensive guys focus on what they do well, the same thing can happen offensively as well. For Michael Carter-Williams, you put him on a bad team like Charlotte, then yeah, he might have to go outside of his comfort zone because there's no one else that can create offense. But in Houston, because there is so much surrounding talent, all of a sudden, the fact that he understands angles well, the fact that he's really instinctive, that he has a high IQ on the floor, he can play to those strengths. And all of a sudden, the fact that you don't really have to respect him as a shooter from 24 feet away, that's not as relevant because there's so many other shooters on the floor that the spacing is still good, even though Michael Carter Williams isn't able to really command that level of respect. Now, again, I'm not going to go over the moon about him because of one preseason game. Yes, he was very strong both ends of the court. Defensively, he was active, very instinctive, has great hands, all those types of things that we came to expect. And really, he's not a point guard. You can look at him as essentially a second wing defender, just in the same vein as James Ennis, because when the regular season gets going, we know that, assuming health, Chris Paul and James Harden are going to be out there for all 48 minutes in a basketball game. But the defenses are going to get tougher, and especially as you get to the playoffs, you're not going to be able to hide a non-shooter quite as well. So eventually, he is going to have to make some shots, and I'm sure the Rockets are working on that actively. But over the 82-game grind, he can be very useful because there are going to be games like this over 82. Yes, this is the preseason, and so that might make it artificially poor defense. But even in the regular season, folks, not everyone is going to be dialed in. And so what Michael Carter-Williams showed you tonight, in my opinion, is that in this system, at least in the regular season, he can have a big role. Will that translate to the playoffs? I think he's slowly got to become at least a passable shooter to make him playable against the Warriors. But over the 82-game grind, in terms of replicating the 65-17 success that gave you the number one seed entering the playoffs a year ago, it's one game, but I saw some things that really translate in terms of how well he understands angles, his length, his instincts, both defensively and on the offensive glass, his ability to take and willingness to take contact. Those are skills that over the 82-game grind, even if he's not a good shooter, will still translate against a lot of teams, especially the lower echelon, which maybe, you know, you worry about a team like the Rockets with so many stars, will they take every game seriously? Well, maybe these lower-tier teams, especially the ones that aren't that committed defensively, maybe those are the ones where Michael Carter-Williams can feast because they don't have the discipline to make him pay for his lack of shooting. Now, I hope he can show us that he's progressed as a shooter as well. This is one game. He'll get more opportunities, and I'm sure at some point in the preseason, he'll have some open threes, and hopefully he'll make some of them. But regardless, I think he showed you some skills tonight on both ends of the floor that will translate. Again, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and just 21 minutes, 5 of 6 from the field. And as far as what he did from 3, he didn't even have to take any. 0 of 0. The other guy who stood out to me off the bench, I'm going to make him 3B in our third segment, Marquese Chriss. 11 points, 4 rebounds in his 17 minutes, 4 of 4 from the field, plus 20. Now, I don't think it's quite as good as the plus 20 would suggest. I think that had something to do with the players he played with. He did have 5 turnovers and 5 fouls, especially early in the game. I thought he looked a little rusty, especially defensively. He seemed to be not very crisp, some slow rotations. But as the game went along, he seemed to get dialed in more. He became a lob threat. Had a couple, one in particular I'm thinking of, from Chris Paul that was nearly from half court that showed you a dimension that, look, Isaiah Hartenstein and Joe Chi, even when they're healthy, I don't think they have that level of athleticism. There's a reason Marquese Chriss was a lottery pick. So he's got a ways to go. He got the number 2 job tonight behind Clint Capela, essentially by default, because of injuries to Hartenstein and Joe Chi. I don't think he's going to be handed that role. And again, it's not like he was perfect. I thought the first half, he was sluggish, especially in his decision-making. He had 5 fouls. He had 5 turnovers. All of those things are real. At the same time, 11-4, 4-4 from the field in 17 minutes, plus 20. At some point, while I think the plus-minus figure might be exaggerated a little bit, it's not totally. On the balance of the game, it took him a while, but he did seem to round into form. And so if his struggles were related to, you know, mental rust, also not really knowing the system, you want to see him continue to get better throughout the preseason as he gets accustomed to playing in this system, Mike D'Antoni basketball with Chris Paul and James Harden. I saw some things, especially in the second half. He seemed to be getting more comfortable with Chris Paul and James Harden in that lob game. Will that continue? It's one game. I'm sure they're going to get looks to Isaiah Hartenstein and Joe Chi as well. But again, for contractual reasons, they have to make a decision on that Marquese Chriss contract. Do you pick up the option by October 31st? I think they would love for Chriss to win the job. And while it was a slow start, ultimately, I don't think the plus 20 completely lies. All in all, he had a pretty good night, and I think they'll give him another look on Thursday when the preseason gets back underway. First home game against the Indiana Pacers at Toyota Center. So until then, this is where we will leave off. As always, I appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening. If you want more content before the next game, The best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. I've also got a website, lockedonrockets.com, an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a Facebook account at facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Always, you can access our content, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan community. I would absolutely love to hear from you. Also, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Megaphone. If you haven't subscribed to us already, please do. Also, leave us a 5-star review by subscribing. That's how you get episodes right when they come out. And by leaving 5-star reviews, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep this business model working as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. By the way, one final note before we close out. Mention, as far as our 3 points recap, besides the obvious, Chris Paul, James Harden, we focused on Carmelo Anthony, Eric Gordon, Michael Carter-Williams, and Marquise Chris. Also want to throw a shout-out to Gary Clark, undrafted rookie forward out of Cincinnati, the first non-obvious rotation player. By that I mean someone who is clearly not in the rotation or in consideration for a rotation spot entering the regular season, because the Rockets' first 3-plus quarters of the game treated it very seriously. The first non-obvious rotation player to enter, or rotation consideration, I should say, was Gary Clark. Actually played fairly well in his 11 minutes in the fourth quarter, hit 2 of his 4 threes for 6 points, also had 4 rebounds, had pretty good court awareness out there. So again, Clark's someone they like a lot. He has a relationship with Chris Paul, I believe came up through Chris Paul's academy. So they're bullish on him, not just offensively, where he's a good shooter, but defensively. He's one of those heady guys, played 4 years of college basketball, high major at Cincinnati, a lot of instincts. So you're not going to take too much from the fourth quarter, where it's largely guys that are not in the rotation, but I think it's pretty clear. We've heard good things, little tidbits about Clark throughout camp, not just from Mike D'Antoni. I believe Chris Paul raved about him as well, and I don't think it's a coincidence that he was the first non-obvious rotation player to get some run in this game. So if there's someone you really think that could surprise, could burst onto the scene, especially if there's an injury sooner rather than later, in my opinion, it's Gary Clark at this point. He showed pretty well, albeit, of course, in largely garbage time in Game 1 of the preseason. Anyway, that'll do it for tonight. Again, thanks as always for listening, and be sure to check back as the week progresses. We're now back to our daily format. We'll see what we can wrangle up as far as interviews are concerned, but we'll definitely be back Thursday when the Rockets make their home preseason debut against the Indiana Pacers, and of course, we'll have full coverage both before and after right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.